Can I talk to you about an argument that I've had with myself and with many others for years? You've run across people who say, oh, you're the creative type, and then they look at someone else and say, oh, you're much more analytical.
Yeah.
I think we're all creative, and I think we can all tap into our creativity. So on the line with us right now, professor and the chair of Notre Dame's Department of Anthropology, also a National Geographic Explorer, Augustine Fuentes. How are you, sir?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Are you creative? Because I hate when people say you're either creative or analytical.
You can be both.
You are both. We all are both. We're all creative. We have a creative spark. We have this capacity to create and to imagine, to go between what is and what could be. That's what it is to be human.
The book is called The Creative Spark, and in it you talk about our ancestors, the hunters, the gatherers. How did creativity work with them?
Well, about 2 million years ago, at the beginning of our lineage, our ancestors were a group of short, hairless, fangless, hornless, clawless primates.
And they were
hot. A lot
of
things on the landscape. Yeah. A lot of things out there that wanted to eat them. What did they have? They had some sticks and stones, and they had each other. And it was that capacity to sort of work together to creatively manipulate the world around them and working with one another that got them to where we are today. The ability to make stone tools is the ancestor of today's iPhones and 747 airliners.
So why is it some people seem to have more of a flair for creativity? If this is constantly evolving, wouldn't we all be sort of equal or not?
Well, it depends on how you grow up. It depends on what opportunities you have. Creativity is all about ideas, experiences, and imagination. Some people that flourishes and other people it doesn't. It really depends on what the outlet is. Usually as adults, we dampen that down. Kids go wild with their imagination. But for some reason, the older we get, the less we value it. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should let it go a little wilder.
I will admit that, you know, I'm the youngest of three kids, and I gave my mom more headaches and heartaches than the other two kids.
Mm-hmm.
But she never really tried to squash my creativity. She would fight with me about it a little bit, mm-hmm. but I knew in eighth grade I wanted to be in radio and maybe, you know, going to college for 4 years and getting straight A's was not something that would benefit me. And she gave me a little pushback, but she kind of let me be who I was, which I think helped me in the long run.
Absolutely. I think we got to recognize that we do creative stuff every day, whether it's in the artist studio or the restaurant kitchen or the mechanic's garage or the corner cubicle. Heck, even trying to figure out how to make a small paycheck last until the end of the month. That's actually really creative. We don't give ourselves enough credit, and we only think of sort of great celebrities or artists. But every one of us, day in and day out, is usually doing something that's pretty darn creative.
So how do we not lose what you just discussed a little while ago? When you're a kid, you're an astronaut one day, you're playing Cowboys and Indians the next day, you're a soldier the next day. Why does that have to go away? Is there some way to retain some part of that into our adulthood?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is we have to go to work, we have to make a living, so we tend to think that that's instead of the creativity and the imagination, but it's not. If we recognize how creative we are every day, even at work, that's one step. But we can do other things, like, you know, making a meal and recognizing how creative that is. We can work or strategize with others to do something, do art, go see a play, go to a game, listen to something, hang out with our friends. All of those things actually are part of this creative process. And if we don't divide creativity from our daily life, but we actually recognize how important it is in our daily life, that's one of the first steps. If we can do that, we're at least a little more open to being a little bit more creative.
I have a theory, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Augustine Fuentes on the line with us. The book is called The Creative Spark. I do know people that are very high-strung and are afraid of failure. And in my experiences, sometimes when you try something creative, there's going to be failure
sure.
involved, but I'm not really afraid to fail because you just pick yourself up and try it again or you laugh at yourself. But does the fear of failure sometimes squash our creativity?
In our society today, we knock people down for failing. One of the problems is you can't be creative without failure. Ask any major athlete, actor, politician, anyone famous, did they have more failure or more success? And they're going to tell you more failure. You don't get anywhere without failure, and creativity in particular. If you look at the last 2 million years of our history, most of our lineage's really innovative events have been failures. But there were enough successes, and down the road, here we are. And, you know, we're doing okay. And so I think we really need to recognize that failure is a critical part of our creativity and not play it down, but play it up and recognize we learn from it. Like you said, you pick yourself back up, but the next time you don't make that same mistake.
I know we just have a couple of minutes left with you. Bill, did you have a question?
Yeah, I wanted to know if you thought creativity was contagious. I know there's times where if you're working around other people that are highly creative, you almost feel like you got to carry your own weight and provide some creativity yourself. Do you think that's a little bit true?
Yeah, no, not only is it true, we're wired that way. Watching other people do art, do on radio, do technological things, do carpentry, make a meal, that actually stimulates stuff in our brain that sort of kicks in that sort of joining mentality. And so, yeah, it is absolutely contagious. And we actually frequently do creativity better in collaboration than we do alone. So creativity is contagious, and it's actually something that does our minds and bodies good.
What's the one thing we can do, or top three things we can do to make ourselves more creative?
Don't give up on the arts and sports. Do something outside of your daily life and work. That's one thing. Another thing is give yourself credit for being creative. When you solve a problem imaginatively, give yourself credit and recognize it. And finally, I'm going to say cooking a meal again, or eating a meal. Go out and recognize that our ancestors spent 2 million years developing how to hunt down large animals and dig out complex plants and build fires and all of that. And don't take it for granted. Recognize the amazing diversity of food we have out there, the creativity involved in it, and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, they couldn't subscribe to Blue Apron or Fresh Chef or whatever that's called, where they had a delivery system with all the goods in it. Well, thank you so much. The Creative Spark is available everywhere your favorite books are sold.
Yep, and the audiobook as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Augustine Fuentes, The Creative Spark.
Thank you, Augustine.
Oh, he's out of here.
He already left.
He's got another interview.
He's on to other creative ventures, Wendy. He can't just linger.